Welcome to Mid-Century Modernism with Monique, your go-to podcast for all things architecture, design, and innovation within mid-century modernism. Join me on a journey through the golden age of design, where every episode brings you fresh inspiration for modern living and unlocks the secrets of this iconic and timeless style. What are we waiting for? Let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Mid-Century Modernism with Monique. I am so happy and so excited to introduce Melinda Mendel. Hi, Melinda.
Hello, hello.
Melinda is my friend. She has been a client before, and she's an amazing interior designer who meshes different styles and genres so well that I had to have her on the show and educate us on how she does that. She's been featured in Brit and Company, San Francisco Cottages and Gardens, and Silicon Valley Design, Lux Magazine. I could go on and on. So why don't we start, Melinda, with how you got this start? And I know your family, you have roots in Eichlers, you have roots in mid-century modernism. Tell us a little bit about that.
This is true. Thank you for that very generous introduction. Certainly mixing design styles is a passion of mine, and but that Eichler blood does run strong in my veins. I've got both my grandma and my great-grandma both owned Eichlers here in the Bay Area, and the stories I hear from those and the experiences they had living in them and raising my dad in them are just so wonderful and so unique. Like, we know the amazing elements of Eichler's were so iconic and so revolutionary for that era. All those spans of glass, all that California indoor-outdoor living, right? Yes. Like, that is really the beginning of it, I feel like.
Yes, nature and abundance.
Light. All the light. We went from those, you know, wonderful craftsman homes, which were such an American thing, you know, starting early in the 1900s, and they were dark, those long eaves. But Eichler's, we had privacy in the front, openness in the back, big spans of glass, bringing in all sorts of light, clear story windows, all these good things. So I remember seeing some photos recently and loving the story of how my grandma was mixing styles, my grandma Donna, mixing styles in her Eichler. So she was like, this is great, this is wonderful, but I could jazz it up a little bit, right? So my grandma was always creative. She did a lot of her own sewing, sewed her own pillows and window treatments and these kinds of things. But what I love hearing about is how in her Eichler, in the dining room, she painted this big, I think it was purple, big purple archway on the wall to create this dramatic, you know, it was paint, but this kind of interior architectural detail. And then down the hallway, I love this, she painted this huge, huge oversized yellow arrow, like pointing you down the hallway, right? Imagine 3 foot or four feet wide down the middle of the hallway, a big old arrow, right? So she's like, this is great. I'm gonna make it even better, right? What can I do with paint? I just love that creativity.
Well, I think that a lot of Eichler owners and mid-century modern owners were artists.
So we need
to have that expression in the home. And I was telling someone the other day that they were like, we want to mesh a rustic, you know, look with mid-century modernism. And I thought of you right away. I said, you know, I don't really like rustic design. I understand that, but I know someone who can mesh the two seamlessly. Mm-hmm. And you do that so well. I love an example. I was looking through your Instagram, is so visually stimulating. I was looking through everything, but one home that you recently did in Portola Valley captures that rustic mid-century modern vibe so well. I don't know how you do that. It's texture and that starkness almost at the same time. You know how mid-century modern architecture can be a little stark and a little too uncomfortable. Is that the word?
It can be a little. It could be a little cold or stark, like you said. And it, I think, but I do think that Eichler's and those mid-century modern homes are a really good backdrop for folks that want to be able to mix and add and layer things in front of them. You said Eichler's appeal to artists. It's 100% true.
Yes.
I recently toured the Eichler my great-grandma Allie lived in, and as it was on going on the market, and it was an artist there who lived there. Mm-hmm. So there is that appeal. There really is that appeal to artists.
Yes.
So Eichler's, I think, can bend towards or receive or encapsulate or hold multiple different design styles. And I love kind of mixing that. So for that post and beam home that we just did in Portola Valley that you're talking about, we call it Post and Beam Reimagined by MMID, like if you look up the hashtag. And it's a long one. But in there, I think you mentioned the white oak paneling that we added. And you know, Eichler's, if they're left alone, often have beautiful mahogany paneling. They have beautiful cedar ceilings.
Yes.
Lots of wood tones that are added in. So in this post and beam home, it was not an Eichler, but a custom post and beam build from Eichler's era. We added some white oak paneling. And what my favorite way to finish white oak is with this like raw finish, meaning I don't want it to turn super yellow or super orange once the finish is applied, which is often what happens when you do a natural or a clear finish on top of white oak. Okay. I want it to look like it was just freshly cut. And so it's a little whiter, it's a little blonder, it's a little lighter. And I work with my finish team to achieve that look, which is what you're picking up on, this kind of like rusticness of like, it looks like raw white oak, and I love it so much.
Yes.
So we added that beautiful paneling to the dining room, and then in front of it, added a very contemporary angled, it was actually a bleached walnut dining table. We added this beautiful swooping contemporary lighting out of Brooklyn from Apparatus, and all of those, you're right, we layered in all sorts of things, right? I think in the bedroom, we had these sconces that nodded at this little like 1940s traditional curvature. The bed in there is very, very contemporary of this era. We added other things like in that bedroom too, there's an antique mid-century piece that's rosewood, the dresser. And then we put a real contemporary, like bold white lamp on top of it with a funky shape. So you absolutely can mix and match. And there's like fun and freedom in that. And there's, I think there's not as many rules as people think there are.
Thank you for saying that. There are no rules. And I'm learning more and more as I get older that people can have their own mark on design. And you'll be so surprised. Someone can come out of nowhere with something that really works. This woman the other day had it, I didn't even know how to place it. It was a truck, like one of those rustic kind of a country, you know, broken down truck pieces of art. And she just slapped it right in her living room. And I thought, okay, that's really interesting. Yeah. And the more I felt it with all of the other pieces she had there, it just worked.
Mm-hmm.
So you living in these, you make it your own. You make it what you want.
Yes.
And the options are limitless.
Yes.
I think. Thank you for teaching me that, by the way. Thank you for that.
Our homes, I think, are such a place for us to be able to experiment and to express our own personality and express our own perspective of the world.
Yes.
Why can't a lot of these things go together, right?
Yes, that's
and
right.
I was thinking about, okay, well, what am I looking at or what am I pulling from when I am mixing things from different eras or mixing different styles? And I'm looking at the form, the shape of things. I'm looking at the material of it. Is it marble? Is it wood? Is it rosewood like that dresser? Is it you know, some other material, some high gloss laminate, right? How is that mixing with other things that I'm adding to the layers? Brass, bronze, chrome, right?
Wow.
And I think it's fun to play with those and see how materials and forms and shapes and textures relate to each other. Is it soft and fluffy? Is it cold and sleek? Is it...
Yeah,
there's something that you can find balance and harmony, mixing different styles and eras with different piece with those different pieces.
That's right. Yeah. And the home that you live in, that we work together with your amazing husband to purchase, I was impressed because you took that home, and the design of it, I would not say is modern. Mm-mm. I would not say it's contemporary, but you have made it such a mesh of these wonderful styles. And I often send, that transaction was very difficult, by the way. There were 14 offers on, for those of you listening, there were 14 offers on Melinda's home. And I was terrified that we weren't going to get it. But you have made that your own. And mm-hmm. I think that's amazing how you can work with literally anyone. Anyone with any style, and you can make it mesh with modern and mid-century modern. But one thing I wanted to ask you, a lot of people have a confusion over what is modern and what is contemporary and what is mid-century modern and what is contemporary. How do you feel about this?
Oh my gosh.
Because I've given up.
You did not prep me with this question. This is a curveball question.
I have asked people.
Am I going to get graded on this?
Well, I think I've failed in this description. And I would say that contemporary involves more shapes. It involves more, you know, I'm picturing orbs and more lighting, and I visualize modern as just cleaner lines. Mid-century modern, I would just say more wood, more organic architecture. But we are having such a hard time placing contemporary. You are the only person that I know that can do contemporary with traditional and mid-century modern.
Yeah.
So, but no one can define it. So I think we've all failed. If anyone has the perfect definition, please write to me.
I think when I think about this, I feel like so many things can be modern. If we think of it, if we're just talking about time, it feels like something that is of this era and feels relevant. Mm-hmm. However, I think that the purists, and again, we're probably going to get comments about this, but I think that the purists would say modernism is absolutely defined and bookended by certain years and certain icons that were creating work that was new for its time. So I think we would say modernism, right? It encapsulates and covers that mid-century modernism that we love of the of that era, that kind of 40s into 60s. And then I think we say contemporary design is a lot of that after that. We see like postmodern design. We could talk about that. And I think that that got like bolder and bulkier and blockier. And then contemporary feels like a lot of kind of a catch-all for a lot of what comes after that. So if you think of the trying to tie, if you're trying to identify a piece, if you can identify it to the time when it was made, that might answer the question of, is it modern or is it contemporary? Mm-hmm. Right. But contemporary is kind of a big catch-all for a lot of things.
Yes.
Okay. So let me tell you, let me tell you about a current project we have. We're just finishing up. Yes. Where we are mixing some styles. So this is a ranch style home in Los Altos Hills. And it, okay, so, you know, mid-century era of being built, right? But not a mid-century modern home per se. And it had maybe had, you know, had some upgrades and touches where it was trying to pretend to be something else. And we really tried to peel back things that had been done to it on the exterior specifically, some on the interior too, of things that were added that were not necessary in the pure form of what the home was and that, what that era represented, right? Right? So we kind of peeled it back and said, let's just reveal that kind of ranch soul that's inside of it. Mm. And we do that on the exterior, and I feel strongly about keeping a lot of that personality or purity for the exterior. The integrity, great word.
Yes, yes.
Integrity on the exterior. Now on the interior, for a lot of homes, you can mix and match, and you can do that both in the furniture, the loose things, the furnishings, and we've did that in this ranch by bringing in a lot of contemporary elements. So the clients came to me, they love contemporary design, they love slick, clean things, and they love natural materials. So in the kitchen, we opened up and vaulted this ceiling. We added beams to the kitchen to tie back to the original mid-century paneled and beamed ceiling that's in the living room that was original to the home, right? So I'm like, this tells us what era the home is. This tells us something about the home. Let's run with that, okay? The kitchen didn't have it, but we can add that in and reinforce that kind of mid-century element in the home with a little bit of a twist, right? And the rest of the kitchen has really slick, contemporary, dark, dark stained oak cabinetry. Mm-hmm. And then stunning. They feel like paintings. The countertops and the backsplash are these blue and green quartzite countertops, right? Mm-hmm. So the client got all the natural materials they want. They got the contemporary design they want. And all of this plays very nicely with this ranch style home, right? Mm. Ranch is a good backdrop for all of that.
I love that word backdrop because it's like this canvas that you're painting. It's pretty amazing. So I think that people making a lot of changes to these homes, it's funny, it could be any style, ranch, Victorian, mid-century modern, and so many people ruin them. And it's our job to remove a lot of this work that has been done and bring it back to what it's supposed to be. I've noticed a lot of buyers of homes like this really appreciate the intention, the original intention of
yes.
the home.
Yes. You would have those buyers specifically. You would.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes. I do.
Yes. But I've noticed a lot of your clients have a lot of bespoke pieces. So you're doing a ton of custom work.
Yeah.
And I've always been really impressed at how many people you know. You'll know a tapestry person. And I remember you were telling me about a huge piece of art that was made for someone. And how long does that normally take to send these things? Well, obviously you have to meet with the designer. You have to pick the right designer. How long does that typically take?
Oh my goodness. So it can, all of our like bespoke furniture can take a really long time. I'm going to say like north of 20 weeks, 24 weeks is easily done. And that's going to be from the point of ordering. Now I would say not all furniture is like this. A lot of our furniture that's coming out of LA, we can get a lot quicker. But I like to be able to pull from across the globe, but more so, most of our furniture is pulled from West Coast makers and East Coast makers. Mm. And I really like sourcing from artisans here in the US. I love supporting makers and artists because I also feel like one.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. But, well, you've built this wonderful thing. But that's another thing that I like about your design is that it's so incredibly original and to the client's needs. I mean, you're so creative and finding all of these resources, but putting your own unique spin on it, I think is just, it's really brilliant. And I'm just amazed at what you do. And you've done it by yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's not that easy. It's not that easy. It has been a lot of work. I will say that I am proud of myself in that, maybe the last number of years, I've really expanded my team and been trying very hard to delegate, to let things go. And I'm really grateful for the support. I have one designer who actually works for me out of the Seattle area. And she is the one that actually like curates all of our bedding sets and a lot of our soft goods for our projects. And I'm so grateful for her support. And I don't know.
It's amazing.
In small business, the more hands, the more brains, the easier it is to get things done. And I just can't do it all on my own anymore.
I cannot. But I really relate to that. And doing everything yourself is so difficult. But it really, I have seen you grow. And I've seen so many people just flock to you for the amazing product that you provide.
Thank you. Kudos to you, girl.
I'm so proud of you. And watching you do this, has been pretty amazing too. And watching you do that even in a studio in your home to now where you are is just so awesome. I'm like, from one entrepreneur to another, I really commend you.
Thank you.
But going back to your work, so there are different projects. For those of you listening, you can check out melindamendel.com. That's two L's at the
end.
That's right. And you can see so many different visuals. We talked about rustic. We talked about contemporary. But one other style that Melinda is amazing meshing is traditional. And so many of us are, well, I'm not traditional, but so, my husband is traditional. His entire family is traditional. Yeah. We live in a mid-century modern home. And the majority of people that I talk to usually have a traditional, you know, that's their piece that they want to add to this yes. design.
Yes.
So how do you mesh traditional with mid-century modern?
Great question. Okay. So I'm thinking of two project examples. At that ranch I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. We have a very contemporary or modern bed that we've added to the bedroom. It's custom, spalted maple, designed specifically for this space, all to our dimensions. And it is working beautifully with the client's traditional rugs. And so the furniture we've added to this room is very neutral and very light, but the rugs belonging to the client are rich and heavier, and there's like reds and oranges and rusts and siennas in them, and it works beautifully within the context of this ranch style home. So it can be done. It can be done.
Wow.
Another example I'm thinking about is our House Full of Readers project. And this one is in Palo Alto. This is a 1920s or 1930, maybe right on the dot, Tudor Revival home.
Oh, wow.
Beautiful. The clients have maintained it so beautifully over the years. Original parquet floors, all the original, you know, plaster work on the interior, wow. right? There's a gorgeous, like, raked plaster cove ceiling in the living room. And for that, wow. right, okay, this is traditional of 1920s, 1930s. And in that space, we used a lot of, I would say, crisp, tailored traditional furniture. We have a tufted banquette, which, like, that's a real traditional thing to have tufting, right? But then our some of the lighting pieces are very contemporary and bold. There's one piece on the back left of the fireplace that it feels like a moon or something. It's this like disc of white light that's like carved in half in with wow. brass. Mm. And the coffee tables are very contemporary. They are beautiful white oak. They've got these radius corners with all this kind of intersecting veneer work. So it's completely possible to mix these things. And I love striking that balance. And I think most people these days, I think that they are open to that, but they need a guide. Yes. I think they need a guide. I think a lot of clients come to me and with the concern of, well, is it matching, right? And that word matching is not something I'm ever seeking. And I think most designers would agree with that we will use the word coordinate. We want something to coordinate. We want things to play nice together. We like things to reference or refer back to something else. So if there's a design element, if we're using a particular type of wood, we might want to repeat that type of wood a couple times, but I don't want the whole house done in that one type of wood. I don't want the floors to be oak, the table to be oak, the chairs to be oak, the ceiling to be oak, right? It'd be overkill. We want to mix in our walnuts. We want to mix in some ash. We want to mix in some different stain tones. So things do not need to match. And I want to give people the permission. It doesn't need to match, but have fun in playing.
Yes.
With mixing things.
Yes. And you have a lot of fun playing and mixing things online. I've always loved just watching. I'll just watch for ideas. You do these boards and they are so amazing how you take something that is a completely different texture or color and you mesh it with, I remember once you meshed something with a fur and I was like, how the heck did she do that?
Oh my goodness.
It just went together. And
I love playing with those textures. I love playing with textiles. Mm-hmm. It was probably faux fur if it was fur. I'm just trying to think back of what it was.
It was either faux fur or if it was a material that was fur-like. And I remember it was, and it also had wood in it. And I thought, you know, I could use that.
It's striking that balance. So if you're thinking about, okay, let's just play through some ideas here. If you're going to build a vignette, and by a vignette, I mean a dresser or a chest of drawers, you're going to have a mirror over it or a piece of art over it. You're going to have maybe a lamp on it, something you'd put in your entryway, something you'd put in your dining room over a credenza, right? You're kind of building this vantage point, building this focal point. So you can do that multiple different ways and mixing your eras, right? And mixing your styles. So maybe the chest underneath is super crisp and it's mid-century modern. It's like that rosewood dresser we put into our Post and Beam Reimagined project, right? It's warm, it's historic, but it's also crisp and modern, right? On top of it, you could put something that maybe your kids brought home from school, some art your kids made, right? You could have a very contemporary piece of art that's very abstract. You could have something that is even an antique piece of art. Think of something that is very romantic, right? Some scene of nature or some scene of a woman reading. Those are always my favorites. These women that are alone doing things, right? And then build that on top of it, contemporary pieces of lamps or lighting, right? Now you could do this on the reverse. Maybe maybe it's an antique chest. Maybe it's got more curves to it. Maybe it's something that's from you inherited from your family. On top of that, let's put a mid-century modern lamp.
Yes.
Right? Let's do
Please.
That orb. Let's do that glass
orb.
Let's lighten it, right? And contrast is one of my favorite design concepts, design principles. Contrast creates tension, contrast creates interest. So you're doing that in multiple ways. If you've got a bright white orb sitting on top of this antique dresser, you've got this mix of materials, you've got this mix of shapes, you're creating this tension. And then, okay, maybe it's a contemporary piece of art again. So you can kind of play with the recipe, right? Play with those elements, play with those eras. Mm-hmm. I know you mentioned Art Deco earlier.
I was just going to get into that.
Talk to me about Art Deco.
As I have aged, I like Art Deco. I really do. I am a mid-century modernist through and through. But for some reason, when I was in Palm Springs, I have had a blast with Art Deco. And you mesh the two, again, very well. I mean, I don't know a style that you don't mesh with mid-century modern architecture. But I love a huge piece of art. Let's say it's a big triangle in the yard. Or sculpture.
Drama.
And dramatic color.
Yeah.
So you've done that. How would you incorporate that? I mean, I could just reference different work and designs.
Art Deco on its own, I think, can be a lot if you have too much of it. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people gravitate towards it. There was something that was so of the moment that Art Deco referenced, that like streamlined modern look, those curves on the corner of cabinets, those big knobs on the dresser, the the gorgeous exotic wood chairs that, you know, you can't get this wood species anymore because it's illegal, because it's very harmful, you know, to harvest this. So there's something of that era that is such of the moment of that freedom, right, coming, those 1920s, right, the roaring 20s, we know what that looks like. And so I think we want some of that joy. We want some of that imprint. It feels very special because it was such a short period of time that that Art Deco style existed. So don't do too much of it is what I would say in mixing. But a little bit here and there is absolutely okay. And honestly, I really gravitate towards it myself too.
It's so fun. I think it's the most fun to mid-century modern.
Yes.
And it really adds this flair and this... this sort of out of the box happiness for me. When I see that, I've actually sold some traditional homes that had all ultra modern interiors and Art Deco finishes. And it was such a happy way to bring that into that traditional home. I think it's a very bold and strong look.
Yes.
That I just really love.
Yes.
Well, I want to thank you so much for your unbelievable passion, for teaching me so much, and I am inspired by you all the time. I want to thank you so much for that, Melinda. For those of you listening, please again check out her website at melindamandel.com. Thanks so much, honey.
Thank you, Monique.
Thanks for
for tuning in to today's episode. I hope you had as much fun learning about the world of mid-century modernism as I did. You can also catch the show on my YouTube channel, where we walk through some of the most stylish mid-century modern homes in California. Just search for Mid-Century Modernism with Monique and hit subscribe. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and leave me a comment to let me know what you think. Your feedback helps me make the show even better. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time on Mid-Century Modernism with Monique.